This morning to the book of 1 Chronicles in the 4th chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I want to read verses 9 and 10. The scripture reads, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." If you're following the Bible reading schedule that I sent out, if you're up to date with it, you've read this past week. And these two verses that I've read to you they stand out in the midst of everything surrounding these chapters of Scripture. What you read in the book of 1 Chronicles is it's a book of genealogy. And I know that a lot of people would look at it different ways and tell you to go about it different ways. And I'd never discourage anybody from reading any part of this book. There's the only problem with reading this book is that we don't read this book enough. And so don't take the comment that I'm about to make to say that Brother Will's telling you not to read 1 Chronicles. I encourage you to read 1 Chronicles. But the best way that 1 Chronicles is going to benefit you is if you use it as a reference as well. In other words, whenever you read those names and the other Old Testament books, if you use it for a reference, it'll benefit you. But if you've never read it, you don't know how to mark it so that you can have a reference. You don't know where to go to find these genealogies. You have to read it first. So I'm not discouraging reading it. I'm just telling you that the best way to utilize it is as a reference book. And here in the midst of hundreds and hundreds of names, you've got a man mentioned by the name of Jabez that you never see mentioned again. You never see him mentioned in any of the other genealogies. And here he's mentioned is something about the life of a man named Jabez. He stands out here to us in the midst of these list and list of family names. And here's a recording of a man named Jabez. And something that he did. And something about the name that his mother gave him stands out here to us in these verses that I've read to you. You know, if the Lord will be our helper today, I want to look at this man named Jabez, and I want to look at the prayer he prayed. You know, if you remember several weeks ago, I spoke and while we were in the book of Jonah on the prayer of Jonah. You know, the prayers of the Bible are an outstanding source of encouragement to you and I, of teaching unto you and I. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray as the disciples of John prayed, is what the Lord is recorded in the Lord's Word in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. Lord, teach us to pray. And here we've got a record of a man that prayed, a man whose name was Jabez, and the Scripture says that he was more honorable than all his brethren. Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. There not only do we see about a man, about the way he prayed and what he prayed, we see that Scripture gives him a label as being honorable. I ask you this morning, and I'll ask myself this from time to time, if God had to lay a label on Will Martin, what would the label be that he would place upon me? And I don't ask that question to try to get you to turn everything in your walk with Jesus about you. I just want you to ask yourself that every once in a while. How does the Lord view you? What would he label you as? You know, I believe with every ounce of my being that I have a hope in Jesus, that according to the book of 1 Peter in the first chapter, that I am, that I can be labeled. I have a hope of it, that I'm labeled, that I'm an elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe I'm His. I believe my name, His name is in my forehead. But if he's gonna put a label upon me, an adjective to describe this man that stands before you, how would he label me? And I tell you, here you've got a man that's labeled, a man named Jabez that's never mentioned again in Scripture, but the Lord says he's honorable, and he was more honorable than all his brethren. You know, if you go back to the book of 1 Samuel in the 9th chapter, what you'll read is that in the journey of the man named Saul of Kish, that while he labored and while he went according to his father's commandment with his servant, and they couldn't achieve that which his father had sent him out to do, his servant looks unto Saul of Kish, and he says, "Let us go into the city where there's a man that's more honorable than all." And he was talking about the man named Samuel. He said, "He'll tell us all. He'll tell us all." Scripture labels Samuel as being more honorable than all. You go to the book of Job, and you read in the beginning of the book of Job, and what does the Scripture bring to our forefront? Right at the immediate beginning of that book, Job, a perfect and upright man. A perfect and upright man. You know, whether or not you believe, whenever you read the book of Job, whether or not you believe that the man at the end of the book is the man, or whether or not you believe Job is the man, one thing you have to understand is that Scripture labels Job as being a perfect and upright man. That didn't mean that he never sinned. He was born after the similitude of Adam. He was born into the family of Adam, and he's a sinner just like you and I. But here's a man that labored diligently to do that which was right and pleasing in the eyes of God. And God's Word says he's perfect and he's an upright man. You go over to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and we've preached on this before. What do we read about Joseph? Being a just man. That means to be honorable. That means to be virtuous. That means to be righteous. And that's not self-righteous. That means that you try to labor to do that which is pleasing in God's eyes only. And I tell you, here's a man that Scripture says his name was Jabez, and he was more honorable than all his brethren. And his mother named him Jabez because she brought him forth with much sorrow. You know, if you go back and you read in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis, we might have justification to name every child that's brought forth sorrow. Because the Scripture teaches us that in sorrow and grief shall a mother bring forth a child. Shall she bring forth a child in sorrow and in grief. But here you've got one that brought him forth in much sorrow and named him, meaning sorrow, Jabez. You know, one of the things that that you and I can understand is that whenever we go through a time of sorrow here in this life, that there's a time of great joy over on the other time of sorrow. And you say, how do you know that there's great joy on the other side of sorrow? What if the sorrowful time that we're going through is our own passing from this life? Well, let me tell you something. You've got something to look forward to on the other side. And it's heaven and it's immortal glory. And whenever you go through trials and tribulations here in this life, if you'll walk with the Lord through it, He'll guide you through it. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I tell you, if you'll follow the Lord through those times of trial, there's a time of great blessing over on the other side. And here you've got a mother that brought forth a child in great sorrow, but look at the man child that she brought forth. One that Scripture would label as being more honorable than all his brethren. I tell you, you know, that's our desire, is it not, for our children to be honorable children. You know, even in great sorrow, I've seen my wife bring four children into this world. In great sorrow, I've seen her. I've witnessed it, and I know I'm not the only one who's witnessed it. There's ones here who have literally done it themselves, and you know the sorrow that comes forth in it. But what a great blessing it is to hold that child in your arms and to be able to see the love of the Almighty God and the gift that He's blessed you with. I tell you, he says here that she brought him forth in great sorrow, and she named him Jabez, and he was more honorable than all his brethren, and he lifted up his voice unto the Lord God of Israel. He prayed unto the God of Israel. You show me an honorable man, I'll show you a praying man. You show me a man that's honorable, and I tell you, prayer's got to be part of his life. Prayer, communication with the Almighty, the one who would bestow honor upon us. Communication with the one that bestows honor upon you is a necessity. Talking to God. You know, one of the things that we see in our house whenever things begin to break down, it's time to cut off the TV. It's time to get everybody's minds focused on right here in the center, in the circle. You know, to take the language of a movie, the circle of trust, if you will, the circle, get in a circle where everybody's looking at one another. That way they don't need to be looking off everywhere else. That way we're looking upon one another. And we're going to have some communication. We're going to figure out where's the breakdown here. Where is the breakdown upon that I just told you to do and you didn't do it? Where is the breakdown? I tell you, communication is vital to a healthy relationship. I don't care if you're talking about between a child and a parent or a husband and a wife. Or the Lord and one of His children. Communication is a necessity. And the man Jabez lifted up his voice unto the God of Israel. And the scripture says, Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That thou wouldest bless me indeed. You know, this book that we've got open before us today, if you have your Bibles open, is a book that is just full of scriptures that teach us how we're blessed and how to be more blessed. You want to talk about a theme of this book? The theme of this book that we've got open before us today is how you're blessed and ways to be more blessed. How you're blessed. You know, the psalmist David, whose prayers we can go and look at. The life of a man, I suppose, other than the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, is no more chronicled or no more recorded in this book than the life of the man David. And what you'll see is that throughout his life, as he prayed throughout his life. He prayed throughout his life. And the Lord blessed him to record in the Psalms. He said, Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered, whose transgression is forgiven. If you've got a hope that the Lord loves you this morning and that He died for you on the cross at Calvary, I'm telling you, you're a blessed person this morning. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered and whose transgression is forgiven. God has laid aside charges that you are due or should be due to pay for. But He's laid them aside. He's covered them. He's taken them away as far as the east is from the west. You're a blessed individual today. God is not going to lay sin to your charge. He's removed it from you. You're blessed. You're blessed. You know, I'm thankful to be able to have that hope in my heart this morning. That I'm blessed. I believe with every ounce of my being that I'm a blessed individual. And I tell you, there's times that I go through this life whenever I'm trudging through and wanting to find something to complain about, where if I can utter those words in true and sincerity, I tell you, it'll do a marvelous thing, and that is that I'm a blessed individual. God has been good to me. Blessed is the man that thou would bless me indeed, is what Jabez says, that thou would bless me indeed. Not only am I blessed because I have a hope that my sins have been paid for. I tell you, I've got a blessing that I have even got the capacity to know that. That I've even got the capacity to know that. That I've even been blessed to live in a day and time when we have scriptures that have been inscribed and recorded and preserved down through time for me to be able to read about a Lord that loved me that much to cover my sin and to forgive my transgression. I tell you, we live in a blessed time. You know, there were times that our church's history will record when the people of God would have to gather together for the reading of the scriptures because they didn't have them the way that you and I have them today, compiled and in a book that you and I can leave here with. You and I can take into our home. They didn't have it then. God's blessed you today. You have the recording of the Almighty. You have the will of God. The will of God and the testament of God in the form of His scriptures that you can have. You're blessed here in this day and time. You're blessed. I tell you, the more and more you and I, if you think back upon the times that you've felt bitterness in your heart, think about how often there in the midst of having that bitterness in your mind and in your heart towards others or towards something going on in this world, if you think how thankful you were at that particular time that God has blessed you the way that He has. I tell you, if your history is like mine, you weren't thinking a whole lot that particular time about how good God had been to you. You were focused continually upon things that you thought that were due you. But I want to tell you, child of grace, today, God's been good to us. We're blessed. You know, go over with me over to the book of Psalms in the first chapter. Not only does Scripture record that we're blessed because He's paid for our sins. He says over in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man. You know, if you go through some of the prophecies, the prophecies of Jeremiah, prophecy of Amos and Hosea, what you'll read is woe unto the man from time to time. You'll see woes of Scripture. You want to know what the exact opposite of woe unto a man is? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And if you'll look at some of these things that Scripture records that'll bring blessings unto you, you go and you look at the woes, and it's the exact opposite of what He's saying here, that you'll be blessed for doing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to tell you, you know, it doesn't mean that everything that you're going to hear from a radio, I forgot the right word to use there, a radio speaker, or a television set is all wrong. I won't tell you that. I won't tell you that there's not things that someone of a different order, that everything that they say is wrong and evil. I won't tell you that. But I want to tell you that as a whole, that if you want to be wise, if you want to be blessed here in this world, you'll walk after the counsel of godly people. And you say, how do I tell if somebody's a godly person who's instructing me? Is he using this? If we believe, and I pray that you do if you're here this morning, that if we believe that this came from God, that this is something that He breathed into existence, if a man can use this and not tell you what it doesn't mean, but tell you what it does mean and apply it to some of your needs, I tell you, follow Him and you'll be blessed here in this world. Blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly. I tell you, there's a million resources that a man can quote from out here in this world. There's a million of them. And I tell you, when you first hear some of them, they might have a ring to them. They might have a certain ring to them that'll catch your ear. You know, the Scripture's got something to say about that too, about teachers having heaping to themselves, teachers having itching ears. That means that they're willing to just follow immediately those little catchphrases that sound so good, but they don't match up against what this book says. I tell you, if you want to be blessed here in this world, you'll follow the counsel of God. You'll follow the counsel of God here in this world. You'll follow the counsel of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll follow the counsel of the wisdom and discretion that He's left here in this world. Blessed is the man. That thou would bless me indeed is what Jabez prayed for. That thou would bless me. You and I, even though we're blessed individuals to have a hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need His blessings here in day and time, day after day after day. I need God to bless me. I need God to bless me as your pastor. I need God to give me strength sometimes because I'm worn out from the day. I'm worn out from the tasks that lie before me. I need God to bless me. I need Him to give me a little bit more energy to get through the rest of the day. I need it from time. I need it. I need God that thou would bless me indeed. I tell you, blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly. Notice that he words it negatively. That walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly. You know, this day and time, and I try to do this, believe me, I try to turn things positively. When people say, what does it mean to be a primitive Baptist? I try to turn it positively. What we have. We have a cappella singing. We have integrated family worship. We have dinner on the grounds. We have families that come together and that sit together and that praise God together. We have those things. And I encourage you to do the same. I try to keep it positively instead of turning everything. We don't. But you know, to turn it to we don't. Is this not what the psalmist David is doing here in this verse? He didn't term it that walketh after godly counsel. he terms it, and this is God's word. He said that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly. If it's right, it's right. And I tell you, God's word is right. Who walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I tell you, this world is seated ready to draw and to coax you into a world of sin. Standeth in the way of sinners. And you say, well, I'm not following them. Standing in the way of sinners. Standeth in the way of sinners. Didn't say walketh in the way of sinners. Standeth in the way of sinners. There's some things that Scripture teaches us to flee. Flee. Flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. Flee some things. Don't stand there. If you stand there, the Lord's word is telling you you're eventually going to get taken by it. Don't just stand there. And he says that standeth in the way of sinners. I tell you, you know, if you look back upon things that you wish you wouldn't have done, think of how the circumstances would have changed if you'd have just walked away. You know, we teach our children the slogan, just say no. You know, we need to add a state, just say no and walk away. Flee it. That standeth not in the way of sinners. You know, the thing, the charge to give to our young people today is don't even stand in the way of sinners. Remove yourself from those that would draw you in by their devices. And I tell you, if you stand there long enough, they'll get you. Because God's word already recorded, and he's taught us that we are of flesh. We have flesh. We have that fleshly nature, and it does not leave us until we go home to be with the Lord in glory. We have a fleshly nature. And whether or not we're going to lay hold on eternal life and feed our spiritual nature or stand there and think that we can just be coached by these worldly influences, I tell you, God's word will say that you can be influenced by them. I had a man tell me one time that a person who is truly a child of God can never enjoy sin. I said, brother, I can't go with that. Now, I can tell you that it'll eat him up at some stage. It may be in the cry of the night. I don't know when the Lord's going to bear it upon him. He may turn him over to a reprobate mind to the point where he thinks it's right. But I want to tell you that as long as you have that sin portion in you, and that being that which Adam gave you, I tell you, you can enjoy some sinful things here in this world. But I tell you, as long as you'll feed that spiritual nature, that which Christ has put within you, boy, you can enjoy some spiritual things here in this world. There's joy in your life through spiritual things that standeth in the way of sinners. Remove yourself from it. Don't stand in the way of it. Blessed is the man. I tell you, you and I, is that not our cry? That the Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. I tell you, old Jabez had some words for us, did he not? Old Jabez had some words of encouragement for the lust to cry unto our God. He lifted up his voice unto the God of Israel, that thou would bless me indeed. Blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, to be negative all the time. You know, the people that constantly tried to find the Lord in error of something. If you want to give them a label, give them the label of scorners. They constantly, instead of wanting to witness the good things that the man was doing, they constantly wanted to find something wrong with what the Lord Jesus Christ did. They were scorners. They were ones that constantly sat in judgment of others upon their own laws and upon their own precedents, and it had nothing to do with the Word of God that sitteth in the seat of scornful. In the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man if you'll walk after godly counsel, if you'll flee the presence of the sinners in the direction that they'll take you, and that you'll avoid the seat of the scornful, you'll be blessed. Look at what the Lord describes as being a blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Is in the law of the Lord. You know, we're under grace in the New Testament dispensation. We're in the celestial period, if you will, of a grace period. You know, you've heard of that particular terminology, I'm sure, out in the world today, a grace period. Well, I tell you, we're in a grace period in the New Testament day and time. God's given us knowledge of His grace. We've been given the knowledge that the Lord has removed the law service from us, which could never take away sin, and has given us the knowledge of God's grace, that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. But you never make a mistake and think that this book is still not a book of God's laws and God's ways and God's instructions unto us on how we should walk. This is a book of God's laws. And I've noticed I've picked this thing up more than I probably ever have standing before. I don't know why I've done that this morning, but this is a book of God's laws. This is God's ways. That whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Your delight is in the Word of God. You know, I'd rather be considered a nerd by this world's standards and have my nose in this Word than to have my nose in the filth of this world and be considered normal in their eyes. I tell you, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. That is the book of the Almighty God and in His ways. And you have delight in Him. You have delight in Him. You show me an obedient child here in this world. He may not understand everything that his daddy's told him to do. He may not understand. He may not understand why his daddy told him to do it a certain way. But I tell you, the ones that will follow it anyway and who will say, my daddy's right and my daddy's smarter than I am, he'll have delight in the ways of his father here in this world. He'll delight in them. And the same thing goes with you and I whenever we're walking with the Lord. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and whose ways are lined up with his ways. I tell you, old Jabez, he cried unto the God of Israel, said that thou would bless me indeed. And I want to tell you, child of grace, today, we need the Lord's blessings. We need them. One of the worst states that we can ever find ourselves in is to think that we somehow are going to make it on our own, that we don't need God to bless us. We don't need His ways. We don't need His presence. I tell you, we need Him. We need Him. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the Scripture describes the Lord Jesus Christ as a root out of a dry ground. You know, him being one who can bring life unto death, he can spring up out of a dry ground. The Lord doesn't need moisture. He created moisture. He created water. He created dirt. He's the creator of all things. He can spring up wherever he chooses to spring up. He doesn't need moisture. But you and I, as beings of his creation, you and I need moisture. And one of the things that you'll find, if you're familiar with geology, is if you go out into a far distant desert, and I don't know much about the desert. I don't know that I've ever been to one. Matter of fact, as I think about it, I've never crossed the Mississippi River but one time, and that was just to say I did it and come right back across while I was in Mississippi one time. And so I don't guess that there's no desert between here and there, and I don't think that there are. I don't think I've ever been in the presence of one. But what you'll find is that as you drive across them, you'll see desolate nothing for miles and miles, and all of a sudden as you get closer to the river, you'll start to see a little green. You'll start to see a little green pop up in the presence of the river. What does that teach us? That there's moisture there. That there's something there to feed the life that is in the plants. And I tell you, if you and I will utilize the moisture and the water of the Almighty God, you and I will be as a tree that is planted by a river. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What are the rivers of water? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As cool waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It's the waters of the Almighty. It's the preached gospel word here in this world. And I tell you, if you and I want to be blessed, if you and I want to be blessed in His ways, we'll feed on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be as trees planted by rivers of water. By rivers of water. Think of if you've ever thought about the vision that's given in Revelation chapter 22 of heaven and immortal glory. The Scripture says that there's pure water. Pure as crystal. Pure rivers of water. And I tell you, every river, every water source has to have a head, does it not? You ever heard of the headwaters of a creek, of the headwaters of a river? I tell you, the headwaters of the gospel preaching here in this world they begin up in heaven. The source of them is heaven and immortal glory. And if you want to be a blessed man, you should consider it a blessing if you're able to partake of the blessings of God through the preached gospel here in this world. You know, I have thought for some time what a justifiable reason it has been for our people for many years to teach what the gospel won't do. We need to show that. Because of the interpretation that people have in this world of what the gospel will do. But you never underestimate, even though the gospel won't make a child of God, you never underestimate the power that is contained therein. To be able to teach lift up, instruct. I tell you, people will invent to themselves multiple things on how to reach a certain age group. Reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel unto them. And if it somehow misses them, preach it unto their mamas and daddies so they'll tell them whenever they get home about things that they need. I tell you, what do we have at the church? We have integrated family worship where we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's a blessed thing. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound, which is what? The sound of the gospel. Old Jabez prayed. He said that thou would bless me indeed, that thou would enlarge my coasts, is the second part of the prayer. That thou would enlarge my coasts. You know, whenever we think of things that we desire in this world, you know, there's some things that you may desire in this world that are strictly personal. It may be something that you just want. And you know that there's nothing wrong with praying unto God for things that you think you want and need and want for your family. You know, I want some things here in this world. I want the Lord to enlarge my coast. I want the Lord to bless me, to be able to enlarge my coast. Not only from a standpoint of having possessions, but I tell you that the Lord would enlarge my coast, that the Lord would enlarge my habitations, that the Lord would bless me to enlarge my influence, if it's a good one. That the Lord would bless me to have influence in places that I never thought I would. And if the Lord would be with me, if the Lord would enlarge my coast to His glory. I tell you, Jabez prayed for it, that that would enlarge my coast. You know, the thought of a socialistic mindset today is that somehow it's wrong to possess things. That there's something wrong with having things. You know, you won't find that mindset in the Word of God. You won't find it. You won't find that there's a problem with having blessings from God. There's a problem with loving your possessions here in this world as opposed to trusting in the living God and loving Him. If you'll remember over in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, what did the Scriptures teach us happened in the early days of the church? That all their things were common. You know, that's the mindset that somebody who supports a socialist mindset is going to go. If you believe in Jesus, then you'll do as they did in Acts chapter 4. And you'll bring all your possessions to the government and you'll sell them all and we'll all get to share and partake of them. I've heard it. And I told them, I said, well, unless you're a Roman Catholic, then you are able to distinguish that this was a church doing this and not the government. This was a church coming together. And the Lord blessing them to sell things that weren't going to be worth anything in a few years. You ever thought about what the Lord was blessing them to know? How much was that real estate in Jerusalem going to be worth after a few years? How much was those things that they were selling off going to be worth whenever the Lord brought upon that city judgment through the Roman army and utterly destroyed that city? How much was all that going to be worth? The Lord was looking after them. The Lord was looking after them. That's a particular context that won't match and support the idea that mankind has created that somehow that's the right way to do things. No, but what does that teach us is that when those two came, that when they sold their possession and they came and they kept some of it and they brought it into the house of God and they lied about what they had sold it for. The Apostle Peter looks at them and says, while thou hast it, was it not yours? He asked them the question, was it not yours? He recognized their right to possess things here in this world. You and I have that blessing here in this world to be able to have things that God will give us. Now, one of the worst things that we can do is pray for things that we think we want and not say, Lord, if it be thy will. You know, some of the things that you'll read in Scripture is that people prayed that they thought that they wanted, but it was not according to the will of God, and God gave it to them anyway. God gave Israel a king anyway, and it was not according to His will, but they prayed for a king. They prayed for a king and blessed them in spite of it. I tell you, we serve a loving, merciful Heavenly Father. It was not His will for them to have that king, but He gave it to them in spite of it, and He blessed them through it. And He blessed them. Now, it ended up in the long term causing them a lot of trouble, but He still blessed them in the midst of having that king. I tell you, the ways of the Lord are past finding out. That would enlarge my coasts. He's recognizing who the source of the things in which he possesses is, and that being God of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, that thou would bless me indeed, that thou would enlarge my coast, that thou would bless me to be able to have in this world, to be able to bless my children to be able to have in this world, that thou would bless me not only with possessions, but thou would bless my influence to the point that I have it in the places where I need it. You know, one of the... Well, I ain't going to get off on that story. If I get off on that, we won't ever get back to the last two in time to finish up. You know, one of the worst things you can do is preach past the hour on a day when you're coming back in here for communion after lunch. You know, we'll be like what the Lord told His apostles when they slept for sorrow after He was over there praying. He said, sleep on now. He told them, He said, sleep on now. And that's the way we'll be if we wear it out too much before we break for lunch. But He says that Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. That thy hand might be with me. I know I've made several references over the past several weeks to the touch and the hand of the Almighty God. But here you see it again, that one of His people who are determined, or that have been termed as being honorable in the Word of God, to ask and to beg that His hand would be with him. That His hand would be with him. You know, I can remember growing up on the farm that whenever we would get a task, whenever we'd be assigned a task, there were times when every farmhand that was on the farm would be assigned a task, and there'd be times when they would divide us. And I can remember when I started, I used to always want my brother's name to be called with my group. You know, I look at my two boys, and I see how that oldest one, I don't know how the youngest one would make it without him, if you want to know the truth. I'm talking about from picking out his clothes to making sure that the crooks and crevices are got in the bathtub to making sure that the teeth are brushed. He looks after him. He looks after him. And I knew that the load would be lighter on me if I could have a couple of those strong hands over in my group. There were times when I've been given a push mower, and I'm telling you, the grass, it wouldn't, this out here, the high part out here wouldn't do it justice. It ain't been cut in years, but there wasn't nothing else to do, and you didn't sit around. So that was given a push mower and told that was what I had to do, and I was by myself. And boy, that's awful frustrating, is it not? To think that that's what your task is. But I tell you, if he could just give you one more with you, if he could just give you a couple of those strong hands with you, you felt like you could get it done. Well, I tell you, child of grace, today you and I depend upon a strong hand. And that's the hand of the Almighty, that thy hand would be with me. You know, that His finger would be with me, would be enough to get me through anything I need here in this world. That thy hand would be with me. And I tell you, not only do we see in Scripture that the Lord uses His hand to bless us, He uses His arm. And He blessed them by an outstretched arm, and by the strength of His arm He brought them out of Egypt. I tell you, we trust in one that's got all the power, that thy hand might be with me. I tell you, I want the hand of God to be with me. I need Him with me. I need Him to... And you say, well, Brother Will, are you just out to have it, to be able to have the, you know, if you, to have a lighter load? Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to tell you, there's a statement, if you want to talk about it, that's got a ring to it, that this world will say that the Lord won't lay anything on you that you can't handle. You know, I can go with it, but I'll tell you that it's not in the Word of God. Because the reason why I don't like that statement is because it's led people to believe that somehow this world can't lay more on them than they can handle. And let me tell you, child of grace, that this world can lay more on you than you can handle. But there's a reason why the Lord gave the command in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, come unto me. Come unto me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because His hand is with you, that thy hand might be with me. I tell you, we stand in need of the hand of God to be with us, that thou might bless me indeed, that thou would enlarge my coast, and that thy hand would be with me. I tell you, I need the hand of God with me. This world will lay it to you. This world will lay it to you. And I tell you what, whenever you fall flat on your face, they'll walk over you to continue on in the direction they're going. They'll walk over you just like the men of Jehu did over that wicked Jezebel whenever she fell out of that window over her wickedness and the Lord had judged her. They just continue right on over into the city. Well, I tell you, the world will continue right on over you here in this world. And if you don't believe it will, then you continue to try to venture out there and not trust in the hand of the Almighty God to bring you through things. I tell you, the Lord's arm is long. It's long. You know, that teaches me that He lets you wander a pretty good ways and you're still within His grasp. But never think that the Lord's going to just going to venture off out there with you in everything that you think that you ought to be doing. That's not the God of this book. We need His hand. And I tell you, the best place to be in His hand is to be right there up under His feet. I can remember being a little boy and the way that I would walk through shopping malls with my daddy. And is he would just drop his finger down. He would just hold his finger down and I would just hold on to his finger. And I want to tell you, you know, the fact that I can still look upon those days, as much as I don't like a shopping mall now, if I can look upon those days with delight of holding on to my daddy's hand, I tell you, that's just a small picture of what you can get by just holding on to the hand of the Almighty God to walk through this world. What a blessing it is that Thou might bless me indeed, that Thou would enlarge my coast, that Thou would that Thy hand might be with me, and that Thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That Thou wouldest keep me from evil. What is the prayer of the sinner that is offered up in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 6th chapter and Luke chapter 7? It's, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Evil existed in Jabez's day. And I know evil men are waxing worse and worse in the day and time that we live in. But you never think that you face evil that some of our saints in Old Testament times or old times, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament times, haven't faced. And don't ever think that there's something that you've got to face that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't face toe-to-toe whenever He came into the temptation of the devil, whenever the devil tempted Him. He was showing us there forefront that there's nothing that you can face that I haven't faced. Let me help you through it. Isn't it good to know that whenever you face things here in this world, that you can call upon one that's already faced it? That you can call upon one that knows how to get you through it? I tell you, Jabez cried unto Him. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of spiritual Israel. He's the God of all grace. He's the God that is listed in this word that we've got before us. He's the God that we've gathered here to worship this morning. He's the God of all Israel. And the Scripture says that Thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. I want to tell you, evil, it'll bring about short-term satisfaction, but it'll bring about long-term grief. It may be some short-term pleasure that you get from it, but it'll bring about long-term grief. It'll bring about long-term trouble. Jabez cried and said that You would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And I'm so thankful that the Lord did not leave off the last sentence of these two verses here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He didn't leave off this last sentence when He said, "And God granted him that which he requested." What a powerful statement that is right there. You know, he could have left you dangling, could he not? He could have left you thinking, well, Jabez cried these things unto the God of Israel. He taught us how to pray, but how do we have the confidence that the Lord would hear our prayers and would answer them? Right there. "And God granted him those things, granted him that which he requested." I tell you, I can't think of for the life of me, if there's something that I want to pray for and that I need to pray for more often, is that the Lord would bless me to be satisfied, to trust in the God in which He's given me the knowledge of. Because what a loving, providential, merciful, long-suffering God that He's blessed me to be able to have a hope in my mind this morning. You know that the things in which we are blessed to be able to have in our mind, God's not bound to let you have them all the time. He's not blessed to let you have those all the days of your life. Y'all know that. Some of you have loved ones who don't have the mind that they used to. My grandmother, by the time she had passed away, she'd throw out a one-liner every once in a while to let you know that she ain't completely lost it. She'd throw out a one-liner every once in a while to remind you she believed in primitive Baptist doctrine. But then the next sentence would be off on a trail that she thought I was my great-uncle, much less my uncle. But every once in a while, she'd throw out one of those statements of things that even brought more assurance to me of that the things in which she had hope in are the same things I have hope in, just as the Apostle Paul pointed out to Timothy that he had through his grandmother and through his mother. God hasn't told us that He'll always that you'll always have those in your mind. May the Lord bless us as we read this prayer. Nestled in amongst hundreds, I believe I haven't counted them, but I don't think I'd be a far estimation if I had to say thousands of names. You've got two verses right there of a man named Jabez that the Scripture says is honorable. And he taught us how to pray in those verses and taught us things to be thankful for. And may the Lord bless us to be mindful of Him and to thank God for all the things that He's done for us. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Oh, weak and worthless, oh, I am. Amen.